Okay, I'm going to get started. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining me. I'm Carol Gervais. I'm the host of Food Integrity Now. I'm also a certified holistic nutritionist and a life coach. And today I'm going to be sharing with you some information about how you can increase the amount of nutrients that you get from your food by making some changes that you may not have thought about. And when you increase the amount of nutrients that you absorb, you increase your immune system, you decrease the likelihood of disease, you look and feel better, and you basically just can increase the quality of your life, which is really what it's all about. Maybe you're like a lot of people who feel like you're eating healthy, but you're just not feeling healthy. Maybe you have achy joints or muscles, brain fog, digestive issues, low energy, depression, headaches, or maybe even a disease. So I want to start out first sharing and taking about 5 minutes to talk about GMOs and glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup. I always start here because I think it's important that you understand what they are and how they affect your body. There's a lot of misinformation out there about GMOs, and hopefully I can clear some of this up for you. And if you already know a lot about GMOs, don't go away because this won't take too long. Two more things. Please stay with me until the end because I'll be offering a bonus to some lucky listener that you're really going to like. And I will also be taking questions at the end of the presentation. You can submit questions via the question box on the webinar page, or you can press *2 if you called in, or you can raise your hand by pressing the raise hand icon on the webinar page. And again, at the end of the webinar, I'll be taking those questions. You might also want to have a pen and paper if you want to take notes. Let's start with GMOs. Genetically modified organisms are engineered in a lab, not in nature, where a gene from an unrelated species is engineered into another species. This is something that would never happen in nature naturally. For the most part, GMOs are done in a lab. And again, it's way different than hybridization. Now, the biotech industry would like us to think that it's been done for hundreds of years, and that's just not true. So there are three types of GMOs. The first one is BT corn. BT stands for Bacillus thuringiensis, and it is a toxin. It is found in our soil, but this one is different. It's engineered in a lab. It's not the same as the one in the soil. And it's engineered directly into the corn seed. And how it works is that when the bug or the worm gets into the corn, they eat the corn and then their stomach explodes and they die. And this product, BT corn, is actually registered with the EPA as an insecticide. So when you eat this food and you know how many products have corn in them, you're eating a pesticide. The second type of GMO is called Roundup Ready. And the foods that are Roundup Ready are soy, cottonseed, canola, sugar beets, some corn, zucchini squash, Hawaiian papaya, russet tomatoes, and some apples. Now, Roundup Ready means that when they spray these food crops with Roundup, they do not die, but everything around them dies. The big problem is that we're not Roundup ready. Roundup's active ingredient is glyphosate, and it actually destroys the immune system of the plant. I talked to one scientist, and he said it actually gives the plant AIDS. It strips it of its vital nutrients, and the plant dies. And when we eat this food that is doused with glyphosate, and it's systemic, which means it's in every cell, it weakens our immune system. Glyphosate has been shown to destroy beneficial gut bacteria in our stomachs, which contributes to many of us getting allergies and our inability to create tryptophan, which is a neurotransmitter. And if we can't make tryptophan, we can't make serotonin or melatonin, and these are all necessary to prevent diabetes, depression, bipolar, even some violent behaviors and schizophrenia. Glyphosate has also been shown to affect our liver, and it impairs our ability to detox, which can lead to many diseases like cancer and heart disease. Glyphosate breaks down the blood-brain barrier, which could impact us by creating Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, or any other neurological disease. Glyphosate was also declared in 2015 by the World Health Organization as a probable carcinogen. It is a patented antibiotic, a mineral chelator, and what that means is a mineral chelator binds important minerals like calcium, magnesium, manganese, and other vital minerals and makes them unavailable to us. So the third type of GMO does not have any pesticides in it, but it has a foreign protein that turns on or off certain genes. It is essentially a promoter, and it does things like it can make a tomato redder, keep apples from browning, lettuce crisper. It may seem harmless, but these promoters inside our food that are engineered to wake up genes might actually wake up other genes. For example, they could wake up a gene that could create a disposition to some other rare disease. It's just unclear what genes it could affect. And again, these have not been tested, so we are the human guinea pigs. So in summarizing that, we have the three types of GMOs. The first is an actual insecticide. The second is engineered to withstand a powerful herbicide. And that herbicide really covers, the Roundup Ready covers about 85 to 90% of our food in our mainstream grocery store. And the third one is the one where they engineer a gene promoter into our food that could have some random effect on our genes. One more thing about glyphosate that a lot of people don't realize is that it is also a desiccant, which means a drying agent, and it is sprayed on non-GMO crops like wheat, barley, rye, lentils, peas, oats, flax, non-GMO soybeans, and sugarcane. So if you're not buying organic, you're getting glyphosate in these food crops. So that's the basic information on GMOs and glyphosate. Next, I want to discuss food as energy. Everything is energy, and we know what we eat is important, but what and how we eat may be even more important. For example, if you're angry or agitated while you're eating, that food can become toxic. Even though it is considered a healthy food, and the reason it can become toxic is because your digestion is impacted by that toxic energy of anger. And we also live in a society where we're very busy and we want to do things quickly, including eating. And I think that eating fast is deadly. When we chew our food slowly and are really enjoying a meal, we're actually signaling our digestive tract to get ready. The chewing is actually the pre-digestion, and it's an important part of our overall digestion. Think of how many people eat when they're upset, especially when they're emotionally upset. My recommendation to people is if you're upset, don't eat. Wait till you're more relaxed and calmed down, because your food can really become toxic. We know the quality of our food affects our physical immune system, but what about our emotional and mental immune systems? This is an area that a lot of people might not think about when they're working on building their immune system. We know that stresses greatly increase our immune system. But how do we do this? There are many ways, and you can find a way that works for you. We're all different, and we all have different issues. I'm going to give you a couple of an example. Maybe you're doing a job that you dislike. That energy of not enjoying your life and doing a job you don't like will affect your immune system. My suggestion for this example is that you may want to reevaluate what you're doing and start making changes in your life to do something that's more in alignment with your purpose. We all have a purpose, and if you don't know yours, find someone to assist you with that. Another example could be if you have unresolved anger at someone, perhaps a parent, and that anger is toxic. You might want to resolve that anger or work on forgiveness of that person. And I want to talk about forgiveness just for a minute. Forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. And when you forgive, you're not saying that it's okay what that person did to you. You're resolving your anger and forgiving the human being for whatever they may have done. This is a very powerful process, and you can greatly assist your immune system by forgiving those that you're angry with. One more example is that you may be judging someone or yourself. That energy is a toxic energy and will affect your immune system. Perhaps you eat healthy, but once in a while you're in a situation where you eat food that's not healthy. Let's say you're somewhere and you're traveling and you don't have any options. My suggestion is to just eat what you need to eat. Don't judge it when you eat it, because when you make a judgment of what you're eating, you actually make that food more toxic than it already is. And you never want to make your food more powerful than you. So eat, you know, you have to eat sometimes. And, you know, if you haven't planned ahead, you have to eat out. So I've given you kind of a quick overview of some of the energies that may be affecting your immune system and the quality of your life. And my suggestion is to write down what you think could be affecting your immune system. Be honest about it, and then if you need assistance in resolving some of those issues, ask for assistance. It's never too late to resolve an issue, even if the person you are angry with is not in the physical. Next, I want to talk about some specific fruits and vegetables and how you can get the most nutrition from them. So it's really, how do you get the phytonutrients from these fruits and vegetables? And so first of all, what's a phytonutrient? Phyton is a Greek word for plant. Plants can't fight their enemies or hide from them, so they protect themselves by producing an arsenal of chemical compounds that protect the plant from insects, disease, damaging ultraviolet light, inclement weather, and browsing animals. I'm going to use this word phytonutrients and bionutrients interchangeably throughout this information. First of all, there are more than 8,000 phytonutrients identified to date, and each plant produces at least 100 of them. Many of the compounds function as potent antioxidants, and when we consume these plants that are high in bioavailable antioxidants, we get protected from noxious particles called free radicals. These free radicals can inflame our artery linings, turn normal cells cancerous, damage our eyesight, increase our risk of obesity, diabetes, and intensify our visual signs of aging. Other phytonutrients are involved in communication between our cells, and yet others can alter genes. Small-scale studies show that select bionutrients in plants can also enhance athletic performance, reduce the risk of infection, fight the flu, lower blood pressure, lower LDL cholesterol, speed up weight loss, protect the aging brain, improve mood, and boost immunity. Next, I want to go over some of the common fruits and vegetables and talk about how you can get the most nutrients from these foods. Now, we pay a lot for our organic foods, so it's really good information to know the best way to cook them to get the most nutrients, the best way to store them, and the best way to buy them. So let's start out with lettuce. Lettuce that has the most phytonutrients share two easily recognized traits. The first is color. There is hierarchy in color. The most nutritious greens are not green, but red, purple, or reddish brown. These particular hues come from phytonutrients called anthocyanins, which also make blueberries blue and strawberries red. Anthocyanins are powerful antioxidants that show promise in fighting cancer, lowering blood pressure, and slowing age-related memory loss. The next most nutritious greens are the dark green ones. Dark green varieties are rich in phytonutrients called lutein, which have been shown to protect eye health and calm inflammation. And we all know how important it is to calm inflammation. Most diseases start with inflammation. As a general rule, lettuce with light green leaves gives you the fewest health benefits. The second trait to look for is the arrangement of the individual leaves on a lettuce plant. And I find this really interesting. When the leaves are tightly packed like cabbages, the phytonutrients tend to be low. Plants with loose or open leaves, loose leaf varieties, contain many more times more bionutrients. Plants that have a combination of open and wrap leaves, such as romaine and bib lettuce, have moderate amounts of bionutrients. Why? Because the leaves have a love-hate relationship with the sun. They need sunlight to grow and produce carbohydrates, but the UV rays can destroy them. Loose leaf varieties are more vulnerable to UV, so they have to produce more phytonutrients to protect themselves. And when we eat these vegetables, we absorb these compounds, which then become part of our own self-defense, not against UVs, but against cancer, chronic inflammation, and cardiovascular disease. The plant's protection basically becomes our protection. So when you're buying lettuce, choose lettuce, preferably rather dark green, that has the loosest leaf. And freshness does matter. The longer the greens have been in transit, stored in a warehouse, or even on a display in a store, the lower their antioxidant value. That's why it's so great to go to a farmer's market where you can buy organic produce that may have been picked the day before. Whole heads of lettuce are fresher than packaged greens. When heads are separated individual leaves, the decay process is sped up. And if you buy packaged mixed blends, choose the ones that have the most variety in color. Don't ever buy lettuce that is limp or has yellow leaves. It's an indication that it's been stored for a long time. To store your lettuce, this process really helps. I do this. Spend 10 minutes preparing greens for storage when you get home. Pull off the leaves and rinse and soak them in cold water. Clean water, obviously. It slows the aging process. Dry them with a towel or a salad spinner. You want moisture in the greens, but not on the greens. And if you tear the leaves, you can double the antioxidant power. Why? The living plants respond as if it's being gnawed by an insect or eaten by an animal, and they produce a burst of phytonutrients to fend off the intruder. There's one caveat to this, though. If you're going to rip your lettuce, make sure that you use it within a day or two. You don't want to do this for lettuce that you're going to, you know, use in 4 or 5 days. To store it in the refrigerator and put it in a clear plastic bag, squeeze out the air, and if you can poke some pinholes in it, it just lets just the right amount of ideal humidity so that they can breathe. The next vegetable I want to talk about is arugula. Arugula is a member of the cabbage family, and it's a cruciferous, and it's rich in phytonutrients, glucosinolates, which has strong anti-cancer properties. It's higher in antioxidants than most salad green. Only red lettuce tops it. Arugula is higher in calcium, magnesium, folate, and vitamin E than most salad greens. Spinach is higher than most lettuces. It's rich in lutein, which protects the eyes and helps inflammation. So when you buy spinach, buy it whole and do the same thing as what you did with your salad. Of course, spinach is good raw, but if you're going to cook it, steam it, and just quickly saute it. Kale. Kale meets or exceeds the nutritional value of most wild greens. One serving of kale has more calcium than 6 ounces of milk. It contains glucosinolates. Studies show it blocks the proliferation of 6 different kinds of human cancer cells. You can store cancer in a crisper drawer of the refrigerator. Store kale in the crisper drawer of the refrigerator and use within a few days. Raw kale is higher in vitamin C, antioxidants, and phytonutrients. If you're going to cook it, steaming kale or sauteing kale lightly, just long enough for it to wilt. You can also use it in juices. There are some practitioners that recommend that people with underactive thyroid glands avoid kale. Some think that cooking kale can alleviate this problem. I recommend, if you have this issue, to just use it sparingly. It's also just really good to alternate your veggies. Collard greens. They're high in vitamin K, C, A, magnesium, and calcium. The cancer preventative properties of collard greens may be largely related to 4 specific glucosinolates found in this cruciferous vegetable. These glucosinolates can help lower your cancer risk by supporting detox and anti-inflammatory system. Stored in the refrigerator in the crisper, cook lightly or saute, or you can also use this in raw juices. Garlic. We all know garlic is great. It's great for strengthening your immune system, and it has many cancer fighting and protecting qualities. Raw garlic contains the ingredient needed to make allicin, which is very powerful for the body. Allicin is created when 2 ingredients in garlic come in contact with each other. One is a protein fragment, allein, and the other is a heat-sensitive enzyme called allinase. When the garlic is intact in the clove, they're separate. But when you slice or crush, they commingle and the combustion begins. Now, if you heat the clove immediately after crushing, it destroys the enzyme that triggers this reaction. So if you keep it away from the heat for 10 minutes, you alleviate this issue. Once you let it sit, cook how desired. I thought that was really interesting because that's just something you wouldn't think about. You cut your garlic, you throw it in the pan, but let it sit there for at least 10 minutes, and then you get that allicin. To store garlic, store it in a cool area away from heat, in a garlic keeper, and you can even put it in the refrigerator, but not in the crisper because it's too humid. So eat lots of garlic as it's one of the most phytonutrient-rich foods you can eat. Onions. Onions are loaded with cancer-fighting phytonutrients. One of the most powerful phytonutrients is quercetin. Studies have shown it is as powerful antiviral, antibacterial, and anti-cancer properties. The stronger the flavor of the onion, the more of those nutrients. In 2004, a test tube study showed that extracts of strongly flavored onions destroyed 95% of human cancer cells in the liver and the colon, as opposed to only 10% in the sweet onions. So those great tasting Vidalia sweet onions, they don't have nearly the amount of phytonutrients. Also, an onion, size matters. 2 small onions gives you twice the antioxidants as a large one. When buying, look for firm onions with an intact outer skin. Higher concentrates of bionutrients are in the outer skin, and you can use them in soup. To store onions for more than a week, you can put them in a net bag or store them in a cool place like an unheated garage or in the refrigerator, but again, not in the crisper because it's too humid. You can baking, sautéing, roasting, or frying increases the quercetin, and boiling reduces the quercetin. However, that quercetin is then transferred to the water, so you can use that water, you know, if you're making soups. Make sure you don't throw that water away. Potatoes have lost much of their nutrition since the wild varieties, mainly due to loss of color. Wild potatoes had a low glycemic index, and while our modern varieties have a high one, and our bodies aren't equipped to handle the higher glycemic index. Potatoes are also on the Dirty Dozen list. And if you don't know what that is, the EWG, the Environmental Working Group, puts out a list every year of, they call it the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. And the Dirty Dozen are a list of fruits and vegetables that you should absolutely always buy organic because they're loaded with pesticides. So potatoes are on that list. Just as an aside, avocados are on the clean 15, so sometimes if you can't get organic, you can use regular avocados. So back to potatoes. Peeling can help to help you get rid of some of those pesticides, but that's where most of the vitamins are. So new potatoes, it's interesting, they have a lower glycemic index, and the blue skin ones are the most nutritious. Choose the most colorful ones, eat the skins, buy organic. Store in a dark, cool place with adequate ventilation. Also, if you eat them with fat, that helps with the glycemic index. So, you know, to me that means, you know, you put your pasture butter on your potatoes and that helps lower the glycemic index. Also, chilling 24 hours after cooked, that lowers it, and flavoring with vinegar, that also lowers the glycemic index. Carrots. Buy whole carrots. The baby carrots have a third or one half less phytonutrients. Make sure you eat the skin. Orange carrots have less than purple phytonutrients. Purple has the most. Purple has anthocyanins, which again is a powerful antioxidant, many times more than the orange. However, the orange have a good source of beta carotene, but not enough to wreak havoc on our, not enough sugar to wreak havoc on our blood sugar. To add more nutrition, buy carrots with the greens still attached. And you cut the tops off before refrigerating. Carrots are better for you cooked, and if you buy them frozen, they're not as nutritious. You can saute them, but steaming is best. You can get more nutrients if you cut them after they're cooked. So cook the whole potato, and if you need to cut them, do it afterwards. Carrots contain a cancer-fighting compound called falcarinol. Whole carrots maintain natural sweetness. Store in a refrigerator away from fruits and vegetables that produce ethylene gas. And some of those are apples, cantaloupes, scallions, tomatoes, plums, and potatoes. And store them in a sealed plastic bag in the crisper. The ethylene gas just causes some bitterness in them. Beets. Beets are rich in boron, and they're known for bone-building properties. A study in 1987 showed it markedly elevates testosterone in both men and women. It relaxes and widens blood vessels, allowing greater blood flow. It shows great promise for being a veggie Viagra. They have a low impact on our blood sugar. They're a good source of fiber, folate, and potassium. They have more antioxidant properties than most veggies, except for artichokes, red cabbage, kale, and red pepper. Those are the hierarchy. They get their color from a phytonutrient called betalains. Betalains are proving to be good cancer fighters. Beets can enhance physical performance through their sodium nitrates. Nitrates can reduce blood pressure, which is increases blood flow to the muscles, and it can reduce the amount of oxygen for muscles during exercise. When you choose your beets, the dark red varieties are a really good choice. The white, golden, and pinwheel stripe ones have lower betalains. Yellow beets do have a good source of lutein. Beet greens are among some of the healthiest greens you can buy. 7 times more antioxidants than romaine, and they're kind of on par with kale. Store the greens and the roots separately. Rinse the greens, towel dry in a plastic bag. Store them much like you do your lettuces. And I like to put beet greens in my juices. They're wonderful in there. Beets become more nutritious, the beetroot, when you steam them or roast them, and make sure that you just wash them and keep the skins on. Tomatoes are high in vitamin C and contain lycopene. Preliminary research shows lycopene may be helpful to prevent heart disease, arterial sclerosis, and even breast and prostate cancer. It may be also one of the most powerful carotenoids against singlet oxygen, a highly reactive oxygen molecule and a primary cause of premature skin aging. Many commercial tomatoes are forced ripened with precise amounts of ethylene gas. And we know you've gone to the grocery store and seen tomatoes that they don't smell like tomatoes, they don't feel like tomatoes, and their aroma is all but gone. They have more acid than tomatoes ripened under the sun. On the vine or cluster tomatoes are harvested typically only a couple weeks after the conventional counterparts. They usually finish ripening in storage. Unfortunately, plant scientists have discovered that most modern tomatoes lack the gene to produce lycopene. All is not lost, though. In searching for the most flavorful and nutritious tomatoes, there are 4 categories. The first one, large beefsteaks. Medium-sized tomatoes, referred to as slicers, salads, or globes, Roma or plum tomatoes, and assorted small, including cherry and grape varieties. And choose by color. Those that are the darkest red color have more lycopene. Yellow, gold, pink, green, and pale ones have relatively low lycopene. Another thing with tomatoes is size is important. The smaller dark red ones have more lycopene. The smaller beefsteaks are more nutritious than the larger, but not as nutritious as some of the smaller varieties. Grape tomatoes have some of the highest nutrition, grape and cherry. So to store tomatoes in a cool, dry place with the stems up, and usually eat them 2 to 3 days, you know, before or after you buy them. 50% of the tomato's nutrition is in the skins and the seeds. So I know there are some recipes that call for taking the skins off and the seed, but just know that you lose 50% of the nutrition when you do that. Tomatoes are better for you cooked than raw. The longer you cook tomatoes, the more lycopene you will get. The heat transforms a substance called translycopene into cislycopene, which makes it more bioavailable. Raw tomatoes are good, but cooked tomatoes are akin to medicine. Canned tomatoes have some of the richest source of lycopene. The heat of the canning process makes the lycopene more available. Tomato paste has 10 times more lycopene than raw tomatoes. Broccoli. Broccoli is rich in glucosinolates and antioxidants, which gives it a two-pronged attack against disease. It's a great source of vitamin C and a phytonutrient called flavonoid. Broccoli starts losing their valuable nutrients shortly after picking, usually within a week's time. It must be chilled to preserve its nutrients as soon as it's harvested. This is pretty impossible given our centralized production. And most of the broccoli is grown in California and Arizona, and it's shipped around the country. So when choosing broccoli, choose dark green crowns, tightly closed buds, no signs of yellow stems or bright green. Store in refrigerator in the crisper and eat within 1 to 2 days. Frozen is less nutritious. Most frozen broccoli is blanched. Blanching broccoli and freezing destroys a third of its glucosinolates. Eating raw broccoli gives you 20 times more of a beneficial compound called sulforaphane than cooked broccoli. Sulforaphane provides much of the vegetable's anti-cancer properties. So if you're going to cook it, it's best cooked steaming, but just only for about 4 minutes. Cabbage. I love red cabbage. Red cabbage is the antioxidant king. It has 6 times more antioxidants than white cabbage. Look for compact heads that are firm and heavy for their size. And if you rub two of them together and you hear a squeak, that means they're reasonably fresh. Store in the refrigerator in the crisper. It can last for a couple of weeks. Cabbage can become bitter when you cook it. However, steam cabbage for 5 minutes, and in order to do it in that 5 minutes, you obviously have to cut it into like 1-inch slices and chop it so that it can cook that quickly. The next one is artichokes. Artichokes have a higher ORAC, oxygen radical absorption capacity, is a method of measuring antioxidants capacities of different foods. They are high in inulin, a probiotic that nourishes the good gut bacteria, and are a great source of fiber. Most common is the globe artichoke or the French artichoke found in our mainstream grocery stores. Like broccoli, artichokes have a high respiration rate and their health benefits decline quickly. So when choosing it, choose a firm artichoke when you squeeze it. And again, like the cabbage, you can rub 2 artichokes together and they should squeak. Store in a crisper and eat within 2 to 3 days. Cook by steaming rather than boiling. Steaming gives you almost 3 times more antioxidants than boiling. Artichokes hearts are the best, it turns out. You can buy them canned, and they are loaded with antioxidants, according to a 2006 analysis. However, keep in mind that cans can have plastic chemicals that leach. So best is to buy them packed in glass with olive oil. And make sure, check the oil on it, because I've seen some artichokes that are packed in canola oil, so you don't want that. You want the ones packed in olive oil. Avocados. Avocados are a subtropical fruit, not a vegetable. California supplies most of them. I live in an area, I live near a town of Fallbrook, which is the avocado capital. One serving gives you more antioxidants than broccoli, grapes, red bell pepper, or red cabbage. It's a great source of vitamin E, folate, magnesium, and potassium. Great source of fiber. Half an avocado gives you more fiber than a bowl of oatmeal. The fat is monounsaturated, which is the same good fat that you get from olive oil. Avocados are basically food for the brain. And this is really interesting. The Haas avocado, which is a large, bumpy, black-skinned one, has 2 to 4 times more antioxidants than any other varieties. In choosing them, choose when top is soft and the middle yields a small amount. If you buy unripened, you can store them in a paper bag. That usually takes about 2 days. If you cut them and only eat half, keep the pit in and sprinkle some lemon juice on it to prevent browning. And that works fairly well. I've only got about two more fruits to talk about, and then we're going to move on. Apples can strengthen protection against chronic inflammation, cancer, and cardiovascular disease. In the past 5 years, no area of apple research has been more dynamic than the area of apple polyphenols. The balance of these phytonutrients in apples is far more unique than many researchers previously expected. In terms of flavanols, quercetin is the primary phytonutrient found in apples, and it's far more concentrated in the skin than in the pulp. If apples are red, it's because of their anthocyanins, which are largely restricted to the skin. When an apple is more uniformly red in color, or when its red color is deeper in hue, it's because there's more anthocyanins. The phytonutrients in apples can help you regulate your blood sugar. Scientists have recently shown that important health benefits of apples may stem from their impact on bacteria in our digestive tract. As a result of these bacterial changes, metabolism in the large intestine is also changed, and many of these changes appear to provide great health benefits. There are over 700 varieties of apples. Granny Smith are one of the most nutritious apples and can have more phytonutrients than red apples. So there's a case where the color doesn't really matter like it does with some vegetables. Fujis are one of the lowest in nutrient density. So if you're choosing an apple, a red apple, look for apples that are red on all sides and firm. Apples last up to 10 times longer when stored in the refrigerator. Make sure you eat the skin. When you peel it, you lose about 50% of the phytonutrients. And again, always buy organic. They're on the Dirty Dozen and they are loaded with pesticides. If you're going to drink apple juice, make sure you're buying the one that's cloudy. Don't buy filtered apple juice. It's very little nutrition. Okay, I'm going to talk about blueberries. Blueberries are a very powerful anthocyanin, and they are high in vitamin C. Blueberries show more promise in fighting the diseases of the modern age than just about any other fruit or vegetables. In studies, they have prevented tumor formation, slowed the growth of existing tumors, lowered blood pressure, reduced arterial plaque, and soothed inflammation, prevented obesity and diabetes in rats. The potential of blueberry in slowing age-related dementia is most exciting. Eating blueberries shows great promise in reducing the age-related mental decline. Blueberries might also reduce risk of cardiovascular disease, but eating blueberries only once a week is not enough. You really need to eat them daily to receive these benefits. And the interesting thing is that frozen is as nutritious as fresh. Highest quality are ones that are flash frozen. And cooked blueberries are better for you than raw. So I thought that was interesting. Cooking creates greater antioxidant levels. The heat rearranges the structures of phytonutrients and makes them more bioavailable. And as far as dried blueberries, 50 to 80% of the nutritional value is lost in that. And usually when you dry something, there's a higher sugar content. Grapes. Several grape phytonutrients are now believed to play a role in longevity. At the top of the list is this research on what is called resveratrol. And resveratrol has recently been shown to increase expression of three genes all related to longevity. They're high in vitamin C, K, B2, and manganese. Grapes are filled with antioxidant phytonutrients that range from common carotenoids like beta-carotene to unusual still beans like resveratrol. And the total number of different antioxidant nutrients in grapes runs well beyond the hundreds. Along with the strong antioxidant support, grapes provide us with an equally strong anti-inflammatory benefit. Cardiovascular benefits, anti-cancer benefits, red, purple, and black have the most nutrition. And I found this really interesting too. Concord grapes and juice are some of the highest in these phytonutrients. So that doesn't mean you go out and buy Welch's. I mean, if you're going to buy a juice, go out and buy an organic Concord grape juice. And they are out there. They have that out there. Choose grapes that are plump and firmly attached to the vine and store in the crisper. And again, any kind of grapes, blueberries, strawberry, any kind of berries, those are loaded with pesticides unless they're organic. So that's it on just some of the most common fruits and vegetables, and the information was just kind of general, and I hope you enjoyed learning about it. I found several things very interesting, especially about the garlic and letting it rest for 10 minutes. I never knew that. So if you're eating healthy and not really getting the results you desire, take a look, first of all, at your stress levels, how fast you eat, if you have unresolved anger or judgment, or if you're not enjoying your life. There's always a reason, and there can always be a resolution. And if you would like assistance in any of these areas, including nutritional, emotional, and mental resolvement, or finding your life purpose, I can help. I offer a couple different coaching packages. Coaching is done over the phone or via Skype, usually on an every other week basis, but we can design a package just for you. And if you go to foodintegritynow.org and go to Work with Carol, you can find out more about these packages. And today I'm offering a discount of 20% off their normal price, and that offer will be good for 48 hours. So once again, thank you very much for being on here. And in a minute, I'm going to be taking some questions. Oh, one more thing. I do offer a free 20-minute consultation. And if you'd like a consultation, you can always email me at carol@foodintegritynow.org. And we can set up a time for us to talk. So let's see if you have any questions, you can either press star 2 or you can raise your hand and I'll try to answer your question. Anybody have any questions about anything? Let me go over to the webcast and see if anybody typed in a question there. Okay, no. Okay, it looks like we don't, I'll give you a couple more seconds here. It looks like we don't have any questions. Okay, well, thank you for listening. And remember I said I would be offering a bonus to anyone who stayed on. So that bonus is if you would like a free 1 hour nutritional tune-up with me one-on-one, email me at carol@foodintegritynow.org and let me know why you would like this free bonus, and I will choose a lucky winner and notify you. Also, there will be a replay at the end of this presentation. It'll be up for 48 hours. And remember that the 20% off my coaching packages is only available for the next 48 hours. So I hope you take advantage of that. And thank you so much for joining me today. It's really been a pleasure to be on here. I really love what I do. I'm passionate about food, and I appreciate you being part of this today with me. So thanks again for listening. Bye for now.